That's the podcast coach for February 28th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, it's Saturday. It's time to get your podcast questions answered. And it's also time to plug in the recorder. I think that's the second week. I have brand new batteries over there. I keep forgetting to put them into the machine. But hey, it's welcome to Sleep Deprived Saturday. We'll explain that going on here in a second. I'm your host, Dave Jackson, from the schoolofpodcasting.com. And this is where you get your podcast questions answered live. Joining me, as always, the fantastic Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv. Jim, how's it going?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Always good to be with you on these Saturday mornings. Another week here in the Gallup Studios. Brand new PC. If you listened last week, you know that I was a little bit in PC hell last week as we had some trouble. Sometimes your equipment just isn't good enough, and so they brought me a new Core i7 up here, and we are rocking and rolling out of the Gallup Studios.
Do we have any audio on Spreaker? Because we have no blinking lights. We had lights.
No blinkies, yeah. Huh?
And all of a sudden I'm like, we got nothing. That's interesting. But the good news is we've got a caller right out of the gate. So if you're live with us, go to the YouTube, which will be kind of weird because you'll be a minute behind us. But that's really odd. I will kind of try to troubleshoot as we talk to this nice person ending in 9118. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
In the morning, Dave.
Hey.
This is Fred Castaneda speaking.
How are you, buddy?
Dave, I'm doing fine. It's a little bit chilly here. But I had a question to ask about one of the functions at NMX, and that is the podcast alley. Do you have any status on when we can expect to get a schedule of people who signed up?
My official answer is no. I know if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/podcast alley, that's where you can sign up. That'll definitely be happening earliest, lateness next week. Right now, we are up against the podcast awards announcements coming out Sunday. And after that, we'll probably... Well, here's the things of priorities. We've got the podcast award announcements coming out Sunday night. And that'll be at podcastawards.com, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Right after that, I'm going to make sure that one of the things we did this week is that anybody that did reviews for the podcast awards, they get a free pass to the New Media Expo. Now, granted, you got to get there, but nonetheless. And when I ask Rick, I go, dude, these people like came through in gangbusters. That's a VIP pass. So if you're like, hey, I'll review. No, you should have. Too late. But that was really cool of him to say, no, we're going VIPs. So I'm going to make sure that everybody gets what is coming to them is my way. Because I that is definitely a crack that nobody's going to fall through. When that is done, my attention will then turn to Podcast Alley. Because in theory, if you're going to be recording live at Podcast Alley, you're coming. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like I would not think that somebody's going to, I don't know, based if they're coming or not, if they're going to be podcasting live on the floor. If it is, then I'm like, that's a head scratcher. But that's where it's going right now, based on time sensitive stuff. And then just the fact that, you know, I had some employees this week that just really, wow, came through. Fred, you were one of them. Thank you very much for that. And so that's that. So I'm hoping by the end of the week, you know, it shouldn't take long on Monday to give the list of everybody who did participate in the podcast award reviewing process and give that over to the folks there, make sure all the T's get crossed and the I's get dotted. And if you did buy a ticket and then you did review, you get that refunded is how that works, and you get upgraded depending on what package you bought. So that's the plan at this point.
Okay, so in 3 weeks we should know a little bit more on Podcast Alley's schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it'd be earlier than that, but, you know, I would think at the end of this week, hopefully. Yeah, this is really, I'm troubleshooting as we're talking here. Everything is fine on my computer, but it's interesting.
Did say we had Mixler audio, so I think.
We have Mixler audio. I'm not quite sure why Spreaker is
not. Maybe it just needs to be restarted.
Yeah, let's try that. It says I'm on the air.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Dave.
Thanks, Fred.
Thank you very much.
But yeah,
I guess we'll see you. We'll see you at NMX.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me
in the morning.
Yeah, take care.
Back Fred. In the day.
So yeah, let's hit that, shall we? Do we want to go pet peeve or pop a cork?
Let's pop a cork.
All right.
Dave pops a cork in 5, 4, 3, 2.
All right. Jim, you can guess. What's the number one question that people ask when it comes to podcasting?
Besides the microphone question?
Besides the microphone.
Hosting.
Hosting, okay. Guess again. You have two tries.
Shoot, I'm 0-2. The number one question people ask in podcasting, what should I podcast about?
Okay, and then let's say somebody's got a podcast. Now that
how do I grow my audience?
There we go. I want more audience. I want more listeners. And I swear, everybody, I've got to take the information that I learned from this thing of doing. Reviewing people's podcasts for the podcast awards. It's hard to make Dave speechless, but I was like, when I go to a website and I'm not making this up, I just went, you gotta be kidding me. No, zero iTunes. Not even like, you know, sometimes the icon was itty bitty. Okay. It's there, but there are a lot of people, a lot to me again, cause this is like I don't know, a cardinal sin. I have to do the numbers on this. I'm going to bet it's close to 20 people don't have an iTunes link on their website. And my other favorite one was no way to contact them. I remember the one, they did have an iTunes link, but it was iTunes and Facebook. That was it. If you want to contact them, which, you know, again, I guess based on your audience, but it was interesting just to go through and see the different ways. You know, we kind of all go, well, you should, you know, the best practice is WordPress and self-hosted, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it just, you go there and people are using Weebly, something.
All kinds of different stuff.
Yeah, and I laughed because the one person that was using SoundCloud for their feed, it didn't validate in anything we were using. A lot of people, that was the other one that I was really surprised, and I kind of get, this one I'm not quite as like, what are you talking about? Is no RSS feed button, because everybody's like, well, just use iTunes. Well, hello, I think I'm like, well, no wonder people on Android can't find your podcast, because if you have to go to iTunes and then reverse engineer that, forget about it. Nobody's going to go through that to subscribe to your podcast on an Android. So it was just amazing that, the lack of contact information, because people want to connect with, you know, I want to change the world. I want to connect with my audience. Well, guess what? You got a big brick wall between you and your audience.
Well, you inspired me. I mean, we were talking about this a little bit in the pre-show, and so I did a little audit of my own site. I went out because we've been talking about this off and on over the last couple of weeks, and sure enough, when I did my site redesign, I had left the email icon off, and that had always been an automatic icon for me in the various themes that I've used. You know, it pulls in your RSS, your email, Twitter, Facebook, things like that. And in the redesign, I never put email back, so I had Facebook, Google+, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, those five different ways to find me on those, but I didn't have an email link on the front page anyways. So I went back just in the pre-show, just as we were talking, I used Daniel's social follow and subscribe, plugin, and quickly just added email back in. And so now there's an email, a little nice icon that says email. But I, you know, Dave, let me ask you, if you go to my site, so if you go to theaverageguy.tv, I have a subscribe button at the very top that has, so I don't put... I have two different ways for folks to get to my feeds. One is through the subscribe button across the top. The other one is I have an RSS More Options button down on the right-hand side. So I'm okay at that point in your book. I mean, that would make sense to you. I didn't want to litter it. I could. If you go to the subscribe page, you can see I got a bazillion ways, right, to get to my podcast. I list everything out there that's possible.
Okay, so I'm at your website. See right there, bingo. The first thing I see is More Options, and it's got a big giant RSS button. Now, again, this is, you know, Mr. Podcast guy, so I understand what an RSS button looks like, which is cool. I hope more people do that. I see an email button, and I see that links to an email address. So I'm like, bingo, you're done.
And I just put that in. I mean, I'll be honest. I forgot it.
And you have a player on your website. I can listen to your podcast with one click. That's another one that we...
And it's a jukebox player, so it's one of those. I use Audio Boom for that, and I can just bring that over, and it's a single feed, so it plays any of the ones on the network. It'll play, loads them up automatically. I don't have to do much with it, so it's pretty cool. I get a lot of hits on that. Having that jukebox player on my page, because you don't have each individual post won't show a player on the front page. You have to click into the post to get the player, right? So I did want a clean player on there. And so about halfway down, you do got to go below the fold to get that player, but it gets a lot of hits. So I like it.
Yeah. So it's weird because this seems to be very loud today. Yes, there we go. There we go. If you want to call in, that number is 347-850-8007. And again, 347-850-8007. And appears what I did was I changed my input on speaker to listen to your internal thing. And then went back and it's blinking and everything is fine and dandy. But
Blinkies.
Yeah, it was... the one thing that Daniel's subscribe and okay, we got to get the name of that
social
right.
Social subscribe and follow, I think. Is
what social it's subscribe and follow. Man, I see that everywhere, and when I do, man, does that make? Oh, it's number awesome. One, it looks great.
Yeah.
Because I actually own that and I don't use it. That sounds really weird. I bought it. Yeah. I put it on a website, and then I forget what I did, but I whacked the website and had to like restore it. And when I restored it, the subscribe and social subscribe and follow buttons were gone. I'm like, oh, I'll add that later, and I've never added it. I need to go. So I have to figure out like what my login name and password is so I can download it. I see where I paid for support again, so I need to actually use that. But, man, when I go to websites that use that, it makes life so much easier. And
I think it makes it easier on us. I mean, I get these great, really good quality icons. You can change the colors on them. They're vectors, so they scale well. They do nice on the web. They're great on tablet. They're good on mobile. They just work. And Daniel's got tons of options that are available to, you know, as far as pre-made subscription options. And if he doesn't have it, there's ways to kind of get around it and make it work. Certainly worth the money. I haven't looked at it in a while as far as how much he's charging for it, but it's a great option. If you want to see how I use it, head out to theaverageguy.tv. If you go to theaverageguy.tv/subscribe, that will take, and don't subscribe to any of my stuff, but you'll see how it's implemented while you're out there.
Yeah, but the fun part was, and this is what's really cool about like having a community. I'm not 100% sure what happened with the podcast awards. I know next year is going to be a whole lot better. I know we're going to have our own website. We're not going to be using Todd's technology. We're going to use the whole voting thing. I don't know if we're going to change the way things are voted, but for whatever reason, we set our dates and then missed them all in a nutshell. And so when I finally got a hold of Rick, I forgot Rick has a small child. That's another thing that's throwing. You know, kids are just they're evil.
The devil.
That's it of podcasting. And
they'll ruin any podcast plans you've ever had.
Yeah, so when we finally had to pull the trigger, we had 2 days to get everything reviewed. And so I circled the troops, and everybody that had signed up, I'm like, hey, guess what? We're ready to review. Here's your sheet. Here's a video explaining you how to use the sheet. I need these in 2 days. And I said, if you can't do it, I understand, because it takes about 4 hours to do a category. It was just... you know, amazing to have everybody go, man, that's a tall order. And then they all came through. So I had a couple people that sent them in this morning, but they were due last night, and it was pretty cool. So
it is a lot of work, Dave. I want to just say, you know, you can say this, but I've done a lot of this user group stuff, awards, those kinds of things. And first of all, no good deed goes unpunished. So no matter what you do, no matter how genuine you think you are, someone's going to be mad about it. Mm-hmm. And so you're taking the punishment of that. And then second of all, it's always twice as much work as you think it's going to be. And mm-hmm. so you sacrifice an enormous amount of time to do this role. One of the things I like, I think, is more than the previous person who did this, is you're very transparent about it. So I think in years past, it was kept behind a veil and nobody really was going on. And you're sharing kind of the steps along the way. Now that vulnerability is going to cost you, because then that's even more things for people to complain about. And that's kind of why people hide these things behind a veil, right? That's because they don't want to deal with the public. They don't want to have to explain themselves. They don't want to have to do those kinds of things. It's a tactic. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying you're doing it differently. And so I think it's good on one side because it gives full transparency. It's difficult on another because you're opening yourself up for more criticism from that standpoint. So if you're ever going to do anything like this, just be warned. You know, it's not as cool as you think it is. It's just not as great as you think it's going to be, like all sunshine and rainbows and unicorns and fairy dust, and none of those things exist.
Well, I was surprised that, you know, now there's the Academy of Podcasters Awards, mm-hmm. and they're all, you know, they pick Stitcher, right? There's part of it that were Stitcher's top whatever five in each category are automatically in, and then the members get to submit the other five to get voted on. And I'm like, oh man, you know, before the whole nomination process was you got your fans to do it and either you were in or you're out. Well, now if you're not in, you've got, you know, here's the new Jared Easley dartboard that's going to, you know, and in the Gary, you know, I can see, and all those people, here's our faces, we're members. And people are going to go, you guys suck. It's a boys club.
There's no good way to do this. There's no way to do it where everyone will be like, oh, that's the best thing ever. Everybody keeps coming up like, I can just reinvent a better mousetrap. Well, you know what? Nobody likes mousetraps. Okay. Yeah. So it doesn't matter how you invent it. They don't like it. And so it's just what it is.
And then the other thing I learned looking back from last week was I put a thing on the front page that said, hey, just a reminder, there's no show this week. But where do we always send people? We send people to askthepodcastcoach.com/live, and there was nothing on that page that said, we're not coming this week. You had to go to the front page. So I had a couple people that said, where were you? And I'm like, it was right on the front page. They're like, oh, I don't go to the front page. They've bookmarked askthepodcastcoach.com.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. I had to cancel. I canceled mine last week as well, my podcast. And you try to let folks know. You mentioned it in the episode. So before, not everybody listens to that. You try and put it on the site. You send it out through social media. What's ironic is I'll tweet that I'm not doing a show, and I'll forget to turn off my auto tweet. I have an auto tweet that every week, 6 p.m. goes out and says, and I do one here for Ask the Podcast Coach too, that says, hey, it's time for Home Gadget Geeks or whatever. It's time for Ask the Podcast Coach. And I'll forget to turn that off. And in fact, I forgot to turn it off last week for this show too. And everybody sees that one and not the one that I tweet saying we're not doing it. You know, I'm like, you're just like, how can the odds are always stacked against you when you do that? So it's just one of the things I do.
Hey, we've got a great question here in the chat from Wes Warren. And Wes asks, can I prepare my market starting out with regular, and he says in quotation marks, shows using YouTube Live? And my answer to that is sure. In fact, I interviewed David Hooper, who's been involved in he's an author. He used to run a music conference. He's a podcaster. He still does a radio show in Nashville. And when he launched his Red podcast, he had recorded 25 episodes. And this is a weird thing. It's like, well, you can podcast, you can actually podcast without being in iTunes, wouldn't be a really good idea. But if you want to record a bunch of shows and never release them, that's perfectly fine. In fact, I actually recommend that. Record about three and then throw them all away, because when you do those three shows again, they're going to be more organized. You're going to have more confidence on the mic. in that whole nine yards. But yeah, if you want to start anywhere, you know, you can. I'm amazed. I've been playing with this whole idea of podcasting as cheap as I can, and it's amazing. Well, I don't know if I would call it amazing. I was impressed with the audio you can pull off your iPhone until I plugged in the ATR-2100 right after it, and I went, this sounds pretty good. And then I plugged in the microphone, and I went, man, that doesn't sound that good at all. It's listenable. But, yeah, you can
good
start
for a guest. Good for your yeah. guest. I don't think you want to be doing that regularly.
Yeah, yeah, it was interesting. But, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and if you – the great thing about it, I was thinking about this. Michael Hyatt completely changed his format. Right now he has I forget her name, but he has the – it's actually – it says she's the host, and it's with Michael Hyatt, but it's his show. This Is Your Life. He had a great quote. I need to – that's a tangent later. Then the audio production podcast by Music Radio Creative. This is a new one. And again, who's the problem here? Babies. Babies, they are the death of podcasting. Well, I don't know if they had it. Does anybody know? Did Mike and Isabella have their kid? I know they're real close. But, I'm going to forget his name. It's like Canyon, Crayon. Oh, I forget his name. There's a really cool guy.
You said Crayon?
Nice. It's something like Crayon, something with a K.
Okay.
Anyway, he's now the new host. Same podcast, and they just said, hey, you know what? We're not going to be able to do this with a baby. And there's a new host. So it's kind of like the Jimmy Fallon thing, right? You just kind of like, all right, show goes on, new host. Mm-hmm. And some people will like that, and some people won't. Yeah, it is weird. If you look at the album art for Daniel says in the chat room, you just realize the irony of This Is Your Life, now hosted by someone other than Michael Hyatt. We do have a caller coming in here. Let me put a little marker in here. Ending in 3159. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, this is John Morgan, and
hey,
man,
buddy.
Glad to talk to.
I was just getting ready to play
Jim
a clip
Collison
of you.
Collison and Dave Jack. cool. Had a couple of questions. You can cut me off if you want any time, but
keep them coming, buddy.
I listened to Mike Dell do a podcast from his car using a Shure SM58 and a cable, an XLRF to 3.5 millimeter TRS to his Roland R-05.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried it, and it worked. I thought, wow, you don't need a mixer to run it into the R05.
Nope.
I
thought I had the cable here in front of me, but I can't find it. My desk is becoming a nightmare.
But I just wondered if it would be possible to use a dual XLR 3F to 3.5 millimeter TRS for interviews, putting that into the R05, you know, like using two either ATR-2100s or SM58s. Has anybody ever tried that?
Does that microphone cable exist?
Yeah. It's let me see. I've got the thing printed out. It's Hosa makes one. It's a CYX-401F.
That's
interesting.
And it's
a microphone cable, and it's designed to plug two XLRs into either a camera or a portable audio recorder.
There you go. Sounds like it would work. I know the R05 is really versatile.
I know you've got one, and I just, you know, I didn't know if anybody had ever tried it. You know, you're probably going to get low levels, but I think you could fix it in post. What do you think?
How much is the cable?
It's like $12.
There you go. I mean, you know, yeah, if it doesn't work, you're out $12. But, you know, buy it from Amazon and send it back.
But I was just thinking that would be like you have two mics in your little bag and an XL and that cable and your R05 and boom. And then you don't have, like, I heard you do the The one I've got the same thing you do, the
Giant Squid Audio.
Oh, Giant Squid Audio, right.
Yeah.
And I heard you do that, and it was like you could hear the person in the other microphone because it's an Omni condenser.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking that you could get two XLR Dynamics in there real cheap and cut out all the background.
Oh, you're still going to get background noise. The going with a dynamic versus a condenser does not completely eliminate the background noise from that. Those will still pick it up. Those 58s especially. So you'll still get it. The key would be get those mics as close together as possible. So if you're going to be doing those interviews, just sit close to each other. That'll kind of eliminate, for the most part, that echo or that both mics picking it up. You're not going to get a clean edit across the, you know, in other words, you're not going to run that into two channels and think you can clean up both sides of it. It's just going to be, it's going to be a single, probably single channel that you'll go through and get it.
It's stereo.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
so you'll put one person in the left, one person in the right.
Yes. No, I get that. It's going to record physically in stereo, but you're going to hear voices on both sides of it because you're so close using the same mics. So
what you, what you would want to do is make sure not to sit side by side, but instead sit across from each other. So that's going to kind of help, but it's not going to help.
Not totally.
Yeah.
The cable's like 5 feet long, so that gives you, you know, 2 times 5 is 10.
Yeah, but now you're shouting at your guests. So tell me, why did you start your podcast?
The key is to practice, right? Get this, Dave, what you're saying is, hey, it's $15, man. If you think this will work, I think you're going to get really, really low levels. And yes, you can fix it in post, but, you know, garbage in, garbage out. If it's so low and you bump it up and it... Even a low input quality is going to get tough to get that up to the right level. I'm not saying impossible. I'm not saying it won't work. I'm just saying go in with eyes wide open on something like this. If you think you want to try it, hey, this is cheaper than a lot of other solutions. Give it a shot, test it, write it up. We'd love to see that on there.
Mike Dell did on his podcast while I was driving, and that Shure SM58, I tried it too while I was driving. I didn't put it out, but his came out real good. And, I was amazed how much it got knocked down.
The lower levels will benefit you in the car. So that's an area where, because you don't have high gain, you're not picking up all of the car noise. And so, especially on a 58, I'm not sure I would, and I need to test this. This would be great for somebody to test as an SM58 versus an ATR 2100 in this kind of environment. The 2100s are notorious for low levels. I mean, you really got to crank up the gain on these things to get them to really work in a normal XLR setting. So 58s, especially for travel, would be a lot better. I think if you're going to do this kind of thing on the road, I've already broken one ATR on the road. 58s don't break, right? They don't ever break. So for the extra $50 or what, and actually it's actually $35 now, because both the 2100s and the 2005s are at like $65. So I guess it's not really $35. It's $35. So anyways, that's my advice.
Speaking of Michael Dell,
the other question I had, if you guys got time,
oh absolutely,
is I've got that Giant Squid Audio mic. That's two stereo mics,
mm-hmm.
and I was using it while wading in the ocean and metal detecting. I put one of the mics on the bill of my cap, and the other in the earphone of my metal detector, and I did a podcast like that, and it worked out good. I set the Roland RO5 on. You can either put on limiter or automatic gain control.
Yeah,
and I put on automatic gain control, and I was getting kind of pumping audio.
Yeah, what that does
from the ocean sound.
Yeah, yeah, that would be one. Automatic gain control is good if you're someplace where, like, if I'm going to record a bunch of people maybe at one time and I don't know how loud things are going to be, it will automatically adjust up and down the volume. I'm not a huge fan of the Roland automatic setting, because I don't think it has, I think it could, like, it adjusts it to a volume level that I think could be higher. I usually take anything that was done with that and have to boost it up a bit. But Skype does the same thing. Anytime you have the technology adjusting the volume, especially with the ocean, because you think about it, the ocean is going to get loud and then soft and then loud and then soft. So meanwhile, you're talking, but the background noise is getting loud and soft. So the whole software is like, wait a minute, he's talking, but it's getting louder. So it's going to kind of create some weird stuff like that. So I would try to talk, you know, do a test and watch my meters and talk with just me, maybe in the car or maybe something else where it's quiet, get an idea where my volume level should be, and then go in the ocean. And you know, as always, like Jim always says, test, test, test. You know, do a quick 10-second test, listen to it back, and then and go from there. But yeah, sometimes it works great. It's nice because it's hands-off. You just go, hey, Roland, you figure out how loud to make this. But if you have a lot of, you know, changing volume levels, it might get a little tired.
Another thing I was thinking about was trying those binaural mics. Roland has what they say CS-10EM, and I do a lot of outside stuff, and I was wondering if anybody had ever tried the binaural stuff because of the neat effect of, you know, having the same feel as being out there yourself. You hear people behind you, in front of you, to the left, to the right. And wondered if anybody'd ever tried those binaural mics.
I have. The only thing I've come close to that is I'm looking around, it's not here. I had a microphone that was stereo, built-in stereo, which really isn't a whole lot different than what's on the RO5 or your H5. It's fine. It depends on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to capture that atmosphere, you know, those are awesome. But, you know, so if I'm outside and I'm doing a nature walk, that's fine. But there's also that line that you can cross where if it's picking up so much of the background that I can't hear what you're talking about, and I'm more focused on how it's being presented than what's being presented, that's where you, in my opinion, kind of cross the line. I've never... we have a person in the chat room. Dan says, binaural are awesome in the right circumstances. Yeah, I think it depends on what you're doing. I know I've had people... I do a logical weight loss podcast, and a lot of times I'll just take my H5 or the Roland O5, and I'll go out, and I've had some people say they love those shows, and then I've had other people say, I don't like those because it's noisy, and I can't hear you, and it's distracting, and, you know, people loved it when the one day I was out walking in the neighborhood, and a dog attacked me. They loved that episode. That was awesome to hear live. You know, it depends on the circumstance. But how much are they? Have you looked into those?
Yeah, they're like $100 or less, and they're made by Roland. And there's another company that makes them that kind of fit in your ear. And on the podcast that I do, the guys that appreciated the stuff where I get out and about more than the interviews I do with the experts. I get more feedback from the one where I was out in the ocean at night, wading around and finding gold rings. They thought that was awesome, and it was like 2 hours of nonsense. And they listened. That was the one I got the most comments on. Well, please do that again, they said.
Yeah, when in doubt, let your audience vote. You know, that always works. What's your website, John?
Oh, let's talk metal detecting and treasure hunting.
Cool.
And I just the Google speed thing, and they said it's great on the, because I got the VPS on the website. Mm-hmm. It's great on the desktop, but it sucks on the mobile. I need to work on that.
Well, what websites and podcasts?
Because I listen.
They're never ending.
Sorry.
They're it's always a work in progress.
Yeah, I was listening to one of those WordPress sites, and they said that, like Jim talked about, that getting a VPS made a huge difference in your ratings in Google. And, man, so I tried to get the thing as fast as possible. I got 91 out of 100 by just stripping the website down to next to nothing.
Yeah, that's where...
And getting the speed up.
that's where you have to be careful with plugins. Not that a plugin is going to add a ton of time to your load speed, but sometimes there's a lot of stuff you don't need. You just, oh, looky, this will do this. You're like, okay, but is it really adding anything to the experience? Is this really something sometimes it's cool, but is it something your audience really needs? And I know I had something weird happen this week on the School of Podcasting where all of a sudden the PowerPress player just quit showing up. And I went in and somehow, it's really weird. It really is one of those where like, how did this happen? Where I had a bunch of plugins turn themselves on and off. And I was like, I did not do that. I did not turn off, it turned on the Smart Podcast Player, which I don't use anymore on the School of Podcasting. And so I just went in and anything I wasn't using, I deleted. I said, okay, thank you. Goodbye. So, but yeah, having a good speed on your website is always, Google's put more and more juice on that for whatever reason. So any other questions we can help you out with?
No, I probably took up too much time. Nah. I just want to, thank you so much. This is just like, what do they call it, Mastermind?
Yeah, in a way.
And it's free. I really think you ought to tell more people at the School of Podcasting about this, because this is awesome.
Well, let me play you a clip from this guy that mentioned something. Here, let me play this for you.
Hey, Dave Jackson. This is John Morgan with Let's Talk Metal Detecting and Treasure Hunting. I just figured out that you put Ask the Podcast Coach on demand. I thought you had to actually go and listen. And I've been listening. So I just wonder if I'm the only one who didn't realize that. I don't think you made it real clear, but you probably get a whole lot more listens if you actually beat into some dummy's head like me that thing is a podcast. Yeah. So I've been binge listening all day yesterday, and I'm going to get through them all, but that stuff is gold. What are you hiding it for?
So thank you for sending that in, John. It's weird. I'm playing John to John. But it was one of those where you never realized that.
Yeah, well,
I went back and listened. I'm like, you know what I always say?
I put in
Saturday at 10:30. I never say, and if you missed it, it's a podcast.
Yeah, I put in 12 hours yesterday, 12 hours today, and I've been working on my book work. So I've got this, because what I do for a living is clean pools all day, so I got my earbuds in all day.
Awesome. That's good to know. Now if I have pool questions, I know who to ask.
That's true. I should do it on pools, but I'm over the pools by the end of the day.
I'm going to say, the last thing you want to talk about is pools by the time you get home. Awesome. All right, Mr. John, thank you so much, man, for your questions. And, if you get that microphone and do any tests, let us know how it works. That's always fun.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Dave.
All right, man.
Thanks, John.
Yep, take care. All sorts of fun toys to play with.
Okay, so John says you got to pimp it more on School Podcasting or whatever. And yeah. I listen to School Podcasting every week. Dave, you talk about it all the time. So
okay.
It's no secret, right? I mean, you mention, I hear you mention it all the time. And I still get a kick out of hearing you mention the show and me on that show. It's funny, right? I mean, that's the power of mentioning people on your podcasts is that people listen for that kind of stuff. If you want to build engagement, mention a few people's names, other people, and then other people tell them they contributed, right? And then other people will start sending you those things because they want to get featured on the podcast, right? So
absolutely,
it's one of those kinds of things. Embrace your community. Get them involved. It creates engagement and does that. And I still listen. I mean, I listen to School Podcasting every Monday morning when it comes out. You even mentioned that on one of the podcasts the other day. And we pimp it. But if you didn't know and you're listening live, we do make this available for download both via iTunes and all the other RSS feeds that are available, Stitcher and everything like that. You can get them available out there, and I think Dave has all the links at askthepodcastcoach.com.
Yeah, I have to see. It's weird. After looking at all these websites, it does make you go back and look. Like you said, you went back and looked at your website. Now I got to go back and look at ours and go, wait a minute, do I have all the stuff I need there? And make sure it's there. Make sure I have a player and all that other fun stuff. So, we do have open phone lines now. If you want to dial in, that number's 347-850-8007. Again, 347-850-8007. And if you just happen to join us, we are at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And
John mentioned those CS10EMs. That's not a microphone. Those are earbuds that have microphones built into them. And so the microphone is on the earbud, and you plug it into the Roland RO5, and it's powered by the Roland RO5, right? That microphone gets its power from it. And so the idea is that, say you're playing a piano and you have this rich sound around you, you put the RO5 on a stand, turn it on, put the earbuds in, and it's playing that rich sound, what you're hearing, into your earbuds so you can hear it as well. I think it's a great concept. They're $96 on Amazon right now, not terribly expensive. I don't know. It says they're powered by other things as well. They mentioned the RO5 and the RO9HR as the two supported ones from them, but you might just check before you go. I don't know if they'll work with Tascam or some of those other voice recorders, but very, very interesting. John, thanks for that tip. Well, it looks like we have a caller.
We do. Ending in 0713, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. My name's Kyron.
There he is. Thank you.
I think we've met.
I was trying to think of your name. What did I say? Crayon? That wasn't
you said
it.
Crayon, yes.
Something with a K and
Crayon
a
Crayon might have been one of them I heard.
and the name of your show is?
It's the audio production show that I'm hosting for Music Radio Creative.
Yeah, I was talking about that. I said it's somebody was talking about, can I do this with my podcast? Can I do that? And I said, you can do whatever you want. And I mentioned Michael Hyatt, and then I mentioned you. And I said, you've now taken over. Have Mike and Isabella had their kid?
Yep.
This week.
They had a baby boy named Zane.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah. So I said, because babies are the arch enemy of podcasts, so they knew that coming in, and they gave you the chair and said, here, take this and run with it. So.
Well, yeah. No. Yeah. The funny story is, I was working with them behind the scenes. I was kind of the producer behind the scenes, and I said to them, you know, the baby's coming up. If you guys need any help, I'd love to do anything I can. If you need a co-host, if you need an idea guy, I'm here. And then they kind of just said, well, how about you do it? I was like, oh, okay.
I didn't want to help that much, but okay, sure. Yeah, it's good.
Well, I mean, I will, but I mean, that's not what I was volunteering for, but sure, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's really exciting. I think we've got the two episodes with you already posted.
Very cool. Thank you
very much. But I'm actually calling for a different reason. I've done other podcasts in the past, and I'm looking to bring back one of my video game podcasts. Okay. And I was talking with someone that wants to collaborate with me on it, and she had the idea of doing a call-in show. And I was like, I know who to talk to and who to ask about setting up the tech for a call-in show. And I was wondering if you guys would share how, obviously, Blog Talk Radio is one side for getting the callers, but is there any other stuff you guys use to host callers? I see you're on Spreaker. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, we used, in the past, we used callinstudio.com. It's a little cheaper than Blog Talk Radio. Not quite as pretty, but it worked in the end. It was about as reliable as Blog Talk Radio in terms of dropping calls and things like that. So we use that. Are you guys going to be in the same room, or that's
no?
It? Okay, so that's where.
No, she's in California. I'm up north in Canada.
Yeah, that's where things get fun, because what you end up doing is, I have a mix minus for Jim, and I have another mix minus for the caller, and that's why I have it gets a little tricky. I actually had to buy a different mixer for that, because I have two. Let's see.
You need two aux sends, right?
Yeah.
To make this work, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the big thing about it. There
cheap
are easy
boards ways. Won't have that. So if you're on a cheap board, they won't have the aux sends that you need. So you'll have to upgrade to a little bit more of an expensive board to get those aux sends.
Yeah. Now the other way, there are cheaper ways to do this. If you've got the minutes, right, you can take a cable. He said, holding up to the, you know, you can take a cable and basically get some connectors, so it's like whatever this is, 1/8 inch in or 3.5 millimeter to 1/4 inch, and throw that into a mixer and just plug your cell phone in, get a Google voice number, forward it to your cell phone so you're not giving out your cell phone number, and then basically the bad news is how do you get the co-host into the phone? If it's just you taking phone calls, that's easy, because you can talk into the phone and the microphone at the same time. They hear you through the phone. The recording hears them through the cable and you. And so if it's just you taking phone calls, it's a piece of cake. That's an easy
solution. No call queue on there. No call queue.
Yeah, no call queue.
Right. Everybody wants the call queue, because that's really the the most effective way that we've found is they queue up. So Dave and I are talking, and Dave gives me the signal. It always happens when I'm talking. I don't know why, but Dave, that's because I think I start talking and Dave checks Dave checks the phone service, and he always gives me the signal, and then I know. That's how I know. I always say, I don't know. We have a caller. Dave gives me the signal, and I say, hey, it looks like we have a caller. And so that call queue is important. I think if you're going to take calls, you want to use one of those two services, or if you've come up with your own, that's fine. But call the call-in studio or a Blog Talk Radio at a minimum to take the queues.
The other one we used, and I still can't believe they don't have this option, was Uber Conference. We used that for a while. The bad news about Uber Conference, and it's just uberconference.com, it's like $10 a month to get a direct number. Otherwise, they have to put in a PIN, and you don't want to sit there and go, call this number, then enter 416-965-9789. Bingo. But the thing that drove me nuts is when people would call in, it would go, bling. This ignite, you know, and then you'd be talking to somebody, and somebody else would call in and go, bling. So if there was a way to mute people when they entered the room, we'd probably still be using that. It was awesome. But it's, you know, if they did that, I would seriously consider that, because you can mute people when they come in, but you can't mute the sound of them coming into the room, which is weird, because I even think they have a kind of funny video on the front of their, you know, their front page, and it shows that scenario, and I'm like, oh, cool, and that's why I signed up. And then it's like, you guys do know you're actually doing the thing that you do in the video that you're making fun of. So, but that's it's an option, and it works with Google Hangouts, not Google Hangouts on Air. It's hard to get a phone system into Google Hangouts on Air because you have to
check that agreement.
Yeah, there's that whole agreement that, hey, I'm being recorded, and if I were able to call you right now from Google Hangout, then you don't know you're being recorded.
So. Still no queue, right? I mean, the queue, the queue is the key on this thing, I think. Yeah.
The queue is the money.
Yeah,
the money shot right there for sure.
Yes. So right now you got Blog Talk Radio and callinstudio.com. Callinstudio, I believe, was $5 or $6 a month, and then X amount of money per minute per user. And I think, which sounds expensive, but it's not. A, just don't keep people on hold forever. And B, we don't get a ton of callers. I mean, today's been awesome, but, you know, I got like one or two calls, and it'd be like 4 or 5 minutes, and it was something like, you know, 20, you know, I think the longest or the most expensive episode was like $5 for the episode. We had, because you're paying for you to be on the line. That's the other thing. Like, oh, really? Seriously? But it was still a lot less than the $40 for Blog Talk Radio. And then, of course...
And $40 is the cap for Blog Talk?
Is the cap. But I would have to take a lot of phone calls, and I'd have to have a screener, which you can do on Blog Talk Radio, and you can do in Call-In Studio as well. But everybody that you tap into the Call-In Studio, when that phone's connected, you're paying for it. But it's something, let's just go over there and find out.
Dave, I never thought I'd say this ever, but in this case, Blog Talk Radio is the premium option, right? When we think about call queuing, and they're really the best from what I've seen out there for the price. I mean, you can get cheaper PBX solutions or more expensive PBX solutions where you kind of build your own queue, but why? You know, for 40, if you're going to get serious about this, $40.
Well, then you're paying for a separate line too, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, right on. For a separate line.
You know what? What I really wish would happen is someone would jump on and create one of these for voice over IP and like a Skype-like option. So
I just wanted to ask.
Yeah, no, right on. What if we could do that where you had this queue on Skype where people could you know, ask to be a part of the conference call, and they sit in a queue until you're ready to bring them in, right? That would be dynamite.
Yeah, I'll just read some numbers, okay? 57 cents, 9 cents, 3 cents, 36, 90 cents, $1.89. That was for me being the host, $2.16. But most of the calls were less than $5 per episode. And then it's $6 a month for the line. So $6 a month, that leaves me $34 I'm trying
this
to find out.
Talk radio, Dave?
No, this is Call-In Studio.
Call-In Studio. Okay.
And I'm trying to find out what. Okay, 3 cents. Inbound calls are 3 cents a minute. So if somebody's on with you for an hour, that's whatever 60 times 0.03.
$1.80,
yeah. So, you know, if you do 4 episodes a month.
Well, that's not too bad.
No, it's actually a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
It's just not as pretty. And, you know, but in the end, they both do exactly the same thing. Now, the cool thing that, again, eventually will be coming in Blog Talk Radio is they're going to boost their audio. Not yet. It still sounds like caca poo poo.
Daniel says out in chat, use something like GoToMeeting or GoToWebinar for those kinds of things. And that's interesting. I don't think they still have as good of a queuing feature, and their audio is terrible in those. But I'd have to look into that. That's an interesting thought. Can you have a lobby? Because that's kind of
what I was thinking when you mentioned Uber Conference. Sorry. When you mentioned Uber Conference, I know with GoToMeeting, you can mute those people that are coming into the queue, and you can have it set so that their mics are muted immediately. And as a host, you can control their mics on and off kind
right.
of thing. So
yeah,
that might be an option.
The trick on that, though, is, well, for us, we broadcast this, right? And so the trick then, so there's lots of
and
services.
And I want to do the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the services you can do, then you got to figure out the other end, which is how do I broadcast them, right? None of those offer native broadcasting like Google Hangouts. So now you're capturing that webinar instance and finding a way to pipe it through a Google Hangout, which could be equally as challenging. So you might have to use something like a vMix or a VidBlaster to grab that screen and push it through to the Google Hangout. You know, so there'll be some tech challenges on that side too.
Another side of call-ins that I hear Jillian Michaels do, and I think Ice-T does, is you email them your phone number and your question, and then you have to be available Wednesday at 4, and they will actually call you. That way they don't need the queue thing. And I think Jillian now does hers in her closet. I know for a while she was doing it from a studio.
Nice.
But I know the other day they were mentioning because there wasn't enough room for people in the closet, which is kind of funny because she's...
Yes, she's right.
Insert homosexual joke here, but she's
right.
Out.
She's yes.
not in the closet anymore.
Right.
So, but yeah, I'm looking at Uber. I'm actually in my settings of Uber Conference, and I still find it odd that there's no way to... mute, because I've seen that in every... I mean, I'm using Zoom today later for a school podcasting roundtable, and I thought I would play with that package, and I'd almost guarantee you that there's a way to mute people when they come in and not make it go, you know, and that was the other thing. It was just this obnoxious bong noise when people showed up. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, that gets me thinking, again, you know, go ahead.
No, sorry, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, I was just going to say that gets me thinking. We talked about GoToWebinar, GoToMeeting. Those are fairly expensive options as well. But I continue to have this thought of if I can build this separate server, so to speak, the separate PC that is running the process of queuing up the calls and then attach that PC to the Google Hangout, we'd be in business at that point. You know, it's just finding that software that allows queuing for folks to come in, queue them up, and then you know, mute them so they can hear you, but unmute them so they can go. So there's a little... You mentioned Zoom, Dave, and I hadn't looked at Zoom in a couple weeks. Maybe it's or a couple months. Maybe it's time to pop back on Zoom and see what that's got.
Yeah, Zoom.us.
Okay, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was trolling you guys' website yesterday in preparation to phone in today and ask this question, and I noticed you under your contact page, you also have, I think it's called SpeakPipe. To start recording and leave a message. Do you guys get a lot of those? And would you highly recommend having that for some kind of call-in show?
And
that way you have questions in the can before you start?
Yeah,
totally.
In this case, right, we listened to one today.
Hey, Dave Jackson, this is John Moore.
Yeah.
You know, that's from SpeakPipe.
Yeah,
and if
totally.
You've got, you know,
right.
I'm lucky because my audience is typically podcasters, but even if it's with a laptop microphone, it still sounds better than anything through podcastvoicemail.com. Which is, you know, or any kind of Google Voice, things like that. I mean, it's always nice. I always provide however you want to contact me, just bring it on in. But yeah, I love my SpeakPipe. Plus, I get notifications in email, and I love their email. It's like, hey, you can log in, it's here, or click this button to listen right now. And you just click it, and here it comes, and it's awesome. I love SpeakPipe.
Yeah, I like SpeakPipe.
And they just came out with a new feature. Where you can now customize the text on the button and the color of the button. I haven't played with that yet, but I saw, I forget the guy's name, Federico Francesco, something very cool sounding, He announced that last week. I haven't had a chance to play with it yet. So
that's that gives me an idea though. I really like the recorded call in. We've gotten some great questions that way. In fact, Dave, we've started the show that way several times over the last couple months. And I like that. I may try that this week on my tech podcast and encourage my audience to do. I'm going to do a completely Ask Me Anything show, but it has to be done on a recorded call, right? Because that takes the complexity of the call out, but you still get the feel of that live interaction kind of deal. And so I may try that this week to see if I can get my audience to leave me 5, 6, 7, 8 voicemails of questions they want to get answered on the show. We'll just I'll assemble a panel and we'll just ask them that way. I think that's a great way to do it too. In fact, it's a more controllable way. If you don't want to go completely live on the phone because you don't know what you're going to get, right? Now, Dave and I are very lucky because we have an incredibly savvy audience that knows what they're doing. But if you don't, maybe you want to start with just calling questions and then start sprinkling in the live stuff.
I think that's a really good idea. I loved what you guys mentioned, how that's a really cool way to start the show. Because from my radio background, I know, you know, little radio secrets here. The midday guy at the station I'm filling in at right now, he might have a canned call from a couple days ago, and he'll start a show off talking to a person, quote-unquote, live, and that'll get the calls rolling. And I think that's a really cool way to start your show and still be transparent and say, no, this is a canned call. This isn't someone actually in the line with us, right?
Yeah, that's a great technique.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Sweet. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Appreciate the help.
Yep. Thanks for calling in.
And just like that, we got another one. I know. How are you on time, Jim?
I'm good on time, yeah.
All right, so ending in 7825, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, my name is Michael Ray. How are you guys doing?
How are you, buddy? Hey, explain to me.
All pretty good.
I got your email. Is that something we can talk about now?
Yeah, that's fine. That's kind of why I'm calling.
Okay.
I don't want to pull over here and take a break.
Yeah, because you said. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, what I'm thinking is, I mean, like, and I know you guys have talked about this before. You know, Daniel's got his noodle mix, and then you got your school of podcasting and these things, and you have those two, and then you'll have, like say, Daniel have the noodle mix, his network type thing, that's what his little deal is, and then he has other shows below that top one up there, that Building America thing. I want to make that as the main thing that everything else comes off of. I'm going to still work is the ADHD.com. That's what, you know, or the think tank thing. That's what I'm going to work, but I'm trying to get it because I got to change all my server stuff come the 7th or whatever. So how do I go about, do you understand? I mean, I don't know if I'm explaining it right or not.
How do you build a network and a website at the same time? Is that
I just want everything to go under that buildingamericapodcast.com. Everything to kind of go underneath that. Whether it's just a website or not, I don't really care. But the ADHDthinktank.com, that's what I'm really concentrating all my work on right there. That's the main one I'm going to start doing stuff. So I just didn't know how you can set that up to where I can, because when I take these things away, then the server stuff, I either got to, all the other domains I have, I either got to park them somewhere or I got to pay them again or something like that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, what I'm going to do, just for the record, I think this is my plan probably in about 3 or 4 months. I own the domain Power of Podcasting, and I believe that's going to be my network because 90% of my podcasts are about podcasting. I'm going to take that website, which already has a podcast on it, and I will just add, categories so that I can basically just copy and paste the post over there. I'll have links at the top for all the different shows. It's not going to be very automated.
Right.
But what a category is you're saying, you're specifying a criteria that only show me these posts that blank. So in this case, it's going to say only show me those posts that have been categorized as School of Podcasting. And so if you click on that link on the website, here's all the School of Podcasting shows. And I might not even put the shows over there. I might just put here's where you can listen to it and here's a subscribe button. But, you know, depending on what you want to do, and I think Daniel has, I know he's talked about this in the past, multi-level setup, but each website has its own. So, you know, in the end, for me, I'm just going to have the one website with links to everything else. And if I want to put the episodes over there, you can always copy and paste. You know, I can put a Libsyn file on 400 different websites. It's still going to pull from Libsyn. Jim, how would you do this, buddy? Any insights?
Yeah, I know a bunch because I've done it both ways. Yeah. You know, where you have you have one website with multiple podcasts on it. That's theaverageguy.tv, if you get that. That's kind of how I worked it. If I were to do it all over again, and I think that works well when you have podcasts that all have the same theme. So, Dave, like you're saying, you've got powerofpodcasting.com. That makes sense to drive everyone to the network address if all the podcasts on there have the same theme. I think if they're going to be disparate, if they're going to be different, then I think you just give them different sites. And so, you know, you would have, you know, whatever site A have one podcast, site B. If you want to create a network page, this is what we do. I'm part of a network called the Geeks Network. And we just have a thegeeksnetwork.com. We just have a page where everybody's podcasts are listed. There's no posts out there. There's no whatever. It's just kind of a, hey, you found the network. Here's the various posts that you have. And I think that's the way you bring together your own network if you're going to have disparate podcasts. Michael, I'm going to give you some hard advice, brother. You just need to start your podcasts. So stop focusing on the websites. Stop focusing on the network infrastructure. Start, I think, with your ADHD one. This is going to sound funny. Just start it, right? Stop getting distracted with the websites and all the other the nitty-gritty. You just need to sit down and start recording some podcast episodes. Don't worry about the mechanics of the websites, right? That'll come. Start recording and getting your stuff done. I'd create a separate site for that.
I started doing that, go ahead.
No, you can go.
Okay. Yeah, what I got is there's an opportunity I got with working with a couple people, and I just want to get that, figure out where that Building America podcast goes, and I got some recordings going for the ADHD. I got three people in Omaha that want to work with me on that. I mean, they're pretty excited about it because in Omaha, there's really no ADHD support group type thing. I mean, they're like 100 miles away. These people in Pender, Nebraska, they got no place to go, but yet, you know, they can work with this and it'll help them out, you know.
Yeah, and see, I would make that a completely different site. I would not try and bring that under your network at this point. Just create the site, give it a name, got the URL, make it separate, start your podcast there. Get that one rolling. If later down the road you want to bring it in, there's ways to make that work to bring in other, you know, if you go to theaverageguy.tv, I post not only what is in my network, so the files that go there, but every single Ask the Podcast Coach that I do a little mini post and say, hey, I was on Ask the Podcast Coach on this day. These are the things we talked about. And then I point it back to School of Podcasting. And that's really good for Dave's SEO. You want link backs. That's what Google counts, right? You want those link backs from one site to another. And so that benefits Dave every time I do that. That's why you need to get your hosts to do, you know, if you have guest hosts, you need to get them to link on their site back to yours, right? Don't let them put the player on there. Put the link on there. That's what you want. So, Michael, I would say get started on that. Keep it separate. Start rolling with that and get that site established and rolling.
Okay. Yeah, there's a great comment in the chat room here.
I'm going to have Dave on that email there. I'm going to have you help me set that ADHD think tank one up. And then I like he says, I'll set the rest of them. As long as I got some place, as long as I can park the rest of those domains and I can't lose them, I can just go ahead and let the other hub host thing go and just start going with Libsyn and just start working on that. So
start rolling it, brother.
Here's a great thing here from Jason Bryant, matttalkonline.com. He says, I didn't launch a network until I had more than one show. And I'll give you another analogy from the music world. I've had people, musicians come up to me and they're focused so much on making it big, on growing their audience, and who doesn't want that? And they're like, I need to find a manager. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, tell me where you're gigging. We don't have any gigs yet. Well, tell me about your CD. We don't have one yet. And they need a manager. And I go, you don't have anything to manage yet. So in this case, let's get the podcast going. That's going to be the basement of your house, right? You're going to build everything on that, and it's not going to hurt anything later if you decide, okay, now that I want to start another podcast or I've got this other thing going, to build that now that you're growing into it. But at this point, you want to build a network site. You don't have a network. It's cool that you know that's where you want to go because you can kind of think, keep that in the back of your mind. But like Jim says, at this point, let's record episodes number 1 and 2 and throw them away. And then we'll record the real number one.
Okay. The only bad decision you can make at this point is the decision you don't make. So get out there, make some decisions, go with some stuff, and get going. Yeah.
Awesome.
On the, because one time I remember Dave saying something about if you have your domain here and you go to change everything, it just screws up everything. But if I just park that Building America podcast, if I just park it somewhere, it can't really mess up anything anyway, can it?
Right. I mean, no. I would do it on its own separate site. You're good. Get things rolling, to use the trucker terminology, and let's get you some podcasts out.
All right, my man.
All right. Hey, I really, really, really enjoy your show, and I really appreciate you, fellas. Thanks a lot.
All right, man.
Thank you. Have a good one.
My homie, ha. See you later. See you.
That's right. See ya. Oh, doggone it. I caught off his laugh.
It's okay.
But, hey, that's going to do it. Man, that was a fun show.
It was a good show. Thanks to everybody who called in.
That was cool. Again, I want to say to anyone listening that helped with the podcast award reviewing thing, thank you. I will say, if I forget this, it's a cool thing that Michael Hyatt said on his podcast about promoting your show. He said, you should want to share your show because it's going to help your audience. If it's not going to help your audience or entertain them or whatever it is the destination is, then it's time to go back and re-record it. And I went, oh, that's some podcasting gold right there. I like that episode. So thanks to everybody in the chat room. You guys rocked as always. And thanks to everybody that called in. I think that's the most calls we've had ever.
It was good. Good quality today, for sure.
Yeah. So, Jim, where can everybody find you?
I pimped it so much. TheAverageGuy.tv. Sorry about that.
How did your run go last week in less than a minute and five seconds?
It went well. 7 minutes, 7:57 up 40 flights of stairs.
Wow. My wife and I went to a hotel, and it was overrun with teenagers. And I'm sorry, putting the 7-year-old in charge of the 4-year-old, not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
It was amazing.
It was nice to have the week off. Thank you for people who let us take a week off.
Yeah, but we'll be here next week, of course, every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, as well as a podcast.
Where can we find those podcasts if we wanted to download them? Where would we find those?
Yeah, askthepodcastcoach.com/iTunes. We'll take you right there. So thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in. And tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Podcast Awards. See if you made it into the top 10. So thanks so much. We'll see you again next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach. ¶¶